Good evening and welcome to another edition of Haunted Orange County's Paranormal Podcast. My name is Ernie Alonso with my co-host Ramiro Ramirez of the NBC Universal Mundo show From Beyond, and our special guests for this evening are Jim Vanicott.
That's good.
As well as Sam Neal of North Orange County Paranormal Society, NOPS.
OCPS.
OCPS.
Pleasure having you guys here, you guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks. Guys, why don't you start by telling a little bit about yourself, about how you guys formed your group. There's also a couple other members that are not here tonight, your brother Sean mm-hmm. as well. So why don't you give us a little background on how you guys came to form?
It started back in 2004. I had experiences as a child and experiences through my young adulthood. And I've known Jim since high school. We graduated back in 84, so that tells you how old we are. Been friends ever since, played racquetball, and the subject came up about the paranormal, my experiences, and something clicked with Jim. I've always kind of been interested in that too. And that's when it started for us, part-time, whenever we could, getting out to cemeteries and stuff like that. And here we are.
Nice. Now, was there a particular, and for most people that we talked to, there's a particular incident that really got them thinking about the paranormal. What was that for you?
Well, for me, I was in Boy Scouts. And at the time, I was going through what they call Order of the Arrow. We were at a camp up in Lake Arrowhead, which is, back before we were here, very heavily Native American. And a lot of the practices with the Boy Scouts are based on Native American practice. We were playing a game at night around our campsite, playing tag with flashlights. And I had an experience where I was up on this hillside and I heard something wrestling behind me. I look behind me and I see what looked like an arm reach out to say hello. It wasn't threatening. It wasn't aggressive. It was just a big white hand from the elbow down. And that's been with me ever since. It was unexplainable.
So that was the interest you actually had.
Yeah.
That's when you said there's something out there that exists, right?
That's when it started for me, yeah.
Well, I guess I should have spoke first because after that, I got nothing. Nothing really happened to me paranormal. Like you said, I just got excited about it. I read about it. He told me his stories. I thought, oh, this is cool. We should do this. Mm-hmm. So we started, going to these different places, and a lot of more public places, like the Queen Mary and whatnot. But nothing really. I mean, the stuff that's happened to me while doing this is kind of kept me going. There's been some times when we just don't get anything, and it's like, why are we doing this? And then all of a sudden, there's that one thing, and it keeps you going. Mm-hmm. Keeps you going.
It's kind of like I explain it like this. If you play golf, you can go out for a round of golf, and you can swing the club 100 times, and 99 of those shots are nothing. They're bad. But it's that one drive that goes 300 yards. It goes, yeah, that's what kept us going.
It gets you a game, and it gets you ahead in the game, actually.
Yeah.
Now, when you started going on investigations, now did you start off by going, like for myself, I got excited because I started going to ghost tours, like ghost walks and places that are, for tourists, right? Now, did you team up or did you go on other, meetups with other groups and then you kind of started doing your own thing, or how did that come about?
Our first investigation with the public or with the community was with Sharon Coyle. Tuesday Miles and Sharon had an event at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday had brought out a new piece of equipment called the Ghost Watchdog. And by today's standards, it's kind of antiquated. But back then, it did a lot of data logging. It did a lot of things. So that was our first event with the community.
Okay.
That wasn't the one that we actually brought in some of our equipment.
Oh, yeah.
We actually brought some of our equipment, even though they told us not to.
Okay.
We brought in IR illuminators and stuff like that, which helped everybody with IR cameras, And we brought those in, and they like, sure, go ahead and set them up.
And just redefine the game plan, right?
Yeah. And I think that's how we became known for our equipment, is when that started there.
And these IR Luminaires, were this something that you guys actually put together, or you guys purchased them?
Back then, it was something that we purchased. Sean, okay. Jim's brother, he acts as our tech person.
Okay.
His background is in photography and video and audio. So through his connections, he scrounged up some IR Luminaires, and it helped.
He modified them, you know.
So
and
it was
and,
a
and made them portable by adding the big power packs, so you could just set them anywhere you wanted to, and just flip them on, and they're good for 8 hours, you know.
And what was funny was, you know, myself, you know, when we shot the series of From Beyond, Joe actually started to create these IR Luminaires, and I sat there and I was like, you should sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I saw experiments that he did, you know, with, you know, different ones that he purchased. And there's one they actually created for us, and it was actually called The Wall. And we actually had a couple other ones that, you know, another individual built. And it was just a big difference. It was just like the kind of like the Pepsi challenge, you know. It's either you like Coke or you like Pepsi. But this type of illuminator that he actually had, it was just bright. It was just boom. And the other ones were just, you know, and with that being said, I mean, so the Warner Grand Theater was the one that actually got you guys, you know, to get hooked into it. Yeah, it brought you guys an interest.
Yeah.
Well, it actually got us involved. You know, we had been doing the weekend or the 2 or 3 hours a night going to cemeteries and stuff like that. When we talked to Sharon for the first time, she says, hey, we're having this event at the Warner Grand. Our guest is Tuesday Miles. Then we didn't know who Tuesday was. So we thought, you know, we're involved in this. Let's see. Let's go meet like-minded people.
Uh-huh. Okay, and now your group has been around for how long now?
Officially as North Orange County Paranormal, 2007.
2007, yeah. Okay. Great. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but you do a lot of charity events, right? Or you're involved in fundraisers as well?
We try, yeah.
Okay.
All that we can do.
Okay. Now, do you want to talk about one we have, or you guys have coming up in May, correct?
Yuma.
Yeah, that's Yuma, Arizona.
I don't mean to butt in, Sam, but you guys have the East Side Paranormal also. Isn't that before? Oh, that's actually before. It's in late March, I believe, mm-hmm. Is it?
That's with Don and Frank. I'm not sure how they're hosting it, what it's titled under, but they're doing their first annual convention at the East Los Angeles College. And we've been asked to set up a booth with all of our gadgets, yeah.
And that's what's awesome, you know. I myself, you know, I would attend these conventions as a spectator, just as an individual. And that's where I picked up you guys' business card. And I was like, well, I know who these are. I saw the equipment you guys had. And, you know, you guys have a lot of members in your team, don't you guys?
We have.
Well, at least when you guys were sitting there, you guys, there was a total lot of people around you guys.
There's a total of four of us. So. Yeah.
Either that or I must say, you know, there was a lot of people just around you guys.
Oh, yeah,
and, You know, you guys had a big following, and I was like, okay, who are these guys? Okay, Orange County. I'm from Orange County myself. And I said, okay, it's kind of cool to see actually a team out here. Mm-hmm. With that being said, so you guys have a table out there. That's something good, because that's how I got into the, you know, getting my knowledge on the teams that are out there.
Looking at all the toys.
You know, no, picking up. Or even, you know, I know sometimes, you know, when you go to the swap meet, you start, you know, to browse a little bit. People think you're going to buy something, you know, and I'll pass by real quick business card, you know, and walk away.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely noticed, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other people just like myself, you know, walking into this event, and they'll see you guys' name and get that done.
What's good for us is we're not trying to prove to ourselves we're not trying to prove it to ourselves that it exists. We know that it exists. Unfortunately, the knowledge that most of the public has is what they see on TV.
Right.
They have no idea what it is, how it works, why we use it, or even what it feels like. So we're able to bring that to the public. They can touch it. They can feel it. They can ask questions about it and ask us, well, why do you use that? So,
because a lot of the times they see it on the show. And we actually bring it out, and they can actually touch it and, you know, maybe work it a little bit, you know?
And, you know, I hate to just bring this back towards me, but, you know, it goes with what you guys were saying. You know, being a part of the show, you know, a lot of fans out there, you know, there are a lot of younger audiences, you know, and they would see this ITC device I would pull out, you know, and it was built by 3AM Paranormal, and they would see their Radio Shack on it, and they'd be like, BS, and on their website, calling me out. And sometimes, you know, you got to play the part. You know, you got to be nice to them and say, go on YouTube. You know, look it up. You know, the Shack Box or Spirit Box. You know, there's many different names, ITC device. And, you know, there are certain individuals out there that at first they had nothing but negative responses towards our show. And they saw that AJ, myself, Christian, we're there, we're involved, you know, because that's we're passionate about this. And they were like, wow, it's not like Ghost Hunters anymore. We leave a comment and they never respond. Or it's somebody else doing it. And those individuals that at first leave us negative responses, they became our biggest fans. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and that's awesome, you know, going out there, just they get their hands on. And there's a lot of people that go out there as spectators that have never actually picked up a mail meter or a recording device. And they're skeptic at heart.
Or even know what they do, you know.
Exactly. And just before I pass the mic over to Ernie, you guys are from Orange County. What's the best location you guys have investigated here in Orange County?
We have a lot of good luck in the city of Fullerton. The city of Fullerton is rated one of the most haunted cities in Orange County. One good thing about Fullerton is that they, as a city, they haven't gone through and tore the history out. It's all been rebuilt and it's still primarily about its original condition. So, Fullerton is one of our favorite spots.
Now we do, the Haunted Orange, ghost walks here in Old Town Orange. And I think you guys had a chance to cruise Old Town a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And, Nolan with Orange County Paranormal got to investigate a couple locations in Old Town Orange that mm-hmm. were, you know, pretty active. There are two locations that are on our tour. Mm-hmm. Now, Fullerton, tell us a little bit about your involvement with their ghost walks. I know you guys are like featured at times to kind of do a walk along with them.
Like I say, 5 years ago, this will be our fifth year, 2012. We approached the city of Fullerton. The museum is the department that heads the tours. We'd like to be involved somehow. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for compensation. We just want to be part of the program to bring information to the public. They were very at first they were kind of skeptical. They didn't know how the public would actually react to it. After the second year, when they sold out the tours months in advance, they thought, well, this might be a good thing for the city. And they've asked us back for the last 5 years, and the tour gets bigger and bigger. They sell out sooner and sooner, and they're adding tours. They're adding,
adding. I want to say more
locations.
Locations, yeah. Mm-hmm. Adding more locations to it as it.
Yeah, I know. For the most part, our tours that we do, there's a lot of history that we talk about. Our Dawsons talk about the location, what it was used for before, who, you know, if they have history of who lived there, why some of the stuff might be still happening or, you know, residual stuff. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we can, we have somebody who's maybe done an investigation in the area, or sometimes we'll bring a sensitive or a psychic along as well, because that kind of ties it in together, because people are so used to watching these shows, you know, that are on TV, and so when you have somebody there that's actually doing the real thing, it kind of brings an extra, you know, an added, you know, incentive for people to take the tour, because then, hey, there's, you know, see, here's some guys that actually go in and do what we're, you know, here to know about.
That's basically what we do in Fullerton, the same thing.
That's the draw. They're able to put a name with the face, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, did you guys investigate any of the locations on the tour, or have you gone in and what were some more of the compelling locations that are featured?
Well, that was our main goal the first or second year that we were involved, was to actually do some investigation at the locations on the tour, mm-hmm. to bring facts to the location. Okay, instead of just having stories, we have proof.
Yeah, so kind of tying in whatever historical information they have, and then hopefully being able to put two and two together with
historical and the claims that mm-hmm. a lot of the owners or previous residents had in those locations.
Okay,
we'd go into these places and kind of confirm it with whether it be EVP or pictures or personal experiences, a lot of those.
Instead of these places just having urban legends, we bring some reality to it.
Awesome. Now, what's your caseload look like? Are you guys pretty busy all the time? What?
Yeah, we stay busy. a lot of the groups out there probably have the same problem that we do. It seems to come in waves. Obviously, through late September through October, obviously, is Halloween.
Everybody's house is haunted.
Everybody's haunted, yeah.
My house was haunted 12 months a year. And, you know, it's funny because just with that comment itself, you know, my house has been active as kids. We'd walk into, you know, the former living room and we would never spend the night there. And we would actually attempt it, you know, pull out of bed from the sofa and be there 5 minutes. And we started hearing the voices and we'd leave. You know, certain houses actually have that residual energy in there. Yeah. With that being said, I've actually had the opportunity after, you know, I shot this series of the show to work with other teams. And I've always wanted to work with you guys. And, you know, with that being said, you guys investigate with other teams as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. We do. I mean, we've done a few things with OCPS.
Well, one nice thing about being involved with the community is that we've been able to network with almost every group in Southern California, and we've been able to pick and choose the groups that are like-minded with us and work with them, and it's a plus for everybody.
You know, and I myself, you know, being a part of the show or whatnot, you know, I know there's certain dislikes about, you know, different approaches other teams have or their practices or whatnot. And being a public figure, you know, I have to be open to anything. And, you know, we've worked with other teams that maybe not everybody works with. And with that being said, it's just the opportunity to actually work with everybody as a public. And with that being said as well, what's the difference between – because this is a question I never asked Nolan, actually, with OCPS. You know, I saw OCPS and I saw NOPS, which is NOPS. You know, how did that come about? Were you guys friends before, or
no? We didn't even know OCPS when NOPS came out.
No,
I always thought it was some sort of like affiliation. You know, you guys knew each other, and you guys live in the north, and
no, we were trying to come up with an acronym that would describe where we were from. Well, we live in North Orange County,
but it couldn't be NOPS because that doesn't sound right. So we made county silent, and it became North Orange Paranormal Society.
You know, and I was actually brought upon, you know, the Haunted Orange, which was the ghost shows that they have here in Old Town Orange. And we created the investigations team, you know, the paranormal team. And I figured it's not – I know I keep saying team. You know, it's more of a family. I said to myself, okay, well, the people that we involved, you know, they all live in Orange County somewhere, you know, whether it's in, you know, Capistrano Beach or in where is Don from?
Don is Lake Forest,
you know, to Marlo, our tour guide, and she's here in Old Town Orange as well. You guys are from Orange County, you know, and that's awesome. You know, we're a team in Orange County. There's a lot of other teams, you know, we've come across, and not a lot of teams are respected like you guys. And I've noticed that a lot from other teams. You guys are respected, and you guys, you know, have your standards. You know, you guys have actually... You gain that respect.
You're getting me all goose pimples.
No. If I may say, I mean, because, you know, I'm being quite honest here, and teams have told me, you know, and I've spoke to, you know, even, you know, family members, you know, so does NOPS is involved. Or, you know, it's a done deal. And, you know, and I respect it. And, you know, I posted evidence before. And when I saw that, I told my brother, I was like, wow, I'm actually getting this. It was expected. You know, it wasn't a challenge, but it was awesome to actually see that, you know, and as individuals how you guys are, I've seen you guys everywhere. I've seen you guys before. I've seen you guys, you know, and, you know, for the next 3 months, I've seen you know, events with you guys on it. And it's actually awesome, you know. I'm trying to encourage Journeys for us to set up an event, you know, here in Orange County. Maybe, you know, NOPS and OCPS, as well as Haunted Orange County. We can all get together and set up an event here in the Orange County.
That would be a party.
It would be a party. Well, our group has a philosophy that we want to be able to help at whatever level that is. We want to be able to help.
It's our main goal, is to help.
Now, when you say help, I know that a lot of just people who ask me, like, I'm not an investigator, but people will ask me, hey, what do these groups do when they say help? What do they actually do? What are the people asking for when they ask you to come in? Are most of them just asking? They want you to validate that something's going on. Do they want you to get rid of it? What do they want? Is it all across the board?
It is across the board. Yeah. People, the subject of paranormal, it's hard for the average person to wrap their head around that. And Jim experiencing what he has through his paranormal career, mm-hmm. myself experiencing what I have have experienced through my childhood and my early adulthood, I have an understanding of what's going on. And no answers yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all still looking for that common answer.
We're all but still learning.
If we can go to a location, whether it be a residential case or a place of business, if we can help those people understand what could be happening, that's help. You know, to bring them some type of resolution to understand what it could be. Either it is paranormal, metaphysical, whatever you think it is.
Or it's something that can be explained, you know, some EMF, you know, just blasting out, making them feel weird, and you know.
Now, let's say it's something that they don't want around, or maybe it's something that's causing whatever negativity in the home, something. Now, do you refer them to somebody else at that point, or what do you do? That's one thing that we kind of feel privileged
is we have unlimited resources of people that can help. You know, in that aspect, we're not there to take on things like that. I mean, if it's over our head, we have people that we can bring in.
And with that being said, I'm going to go back to say, you know, teams out there, individuals have been doing this for years. I've heard you guys' name, you know, the respect that you guys have, you know, the name you guys have out there, you know, it's, you guys aren't just rookies out there just, you know, running at a, you know, provoking whatever you guys hear out there or whatnot. You know, Ernie wanted to learn to investigate, you know, to belong to Yuma. We went to a hotel there and he had an experience. He had a great time. And if he sits here and tells me that he did not have an experience, he's lying to you. He definitely came back with an experience. And with that being said, have you guys ever gone to a location, you know, and found that once you came home, you know, you found your home being a little bit more active than how it was normally?
For myself, no. There are things that I do before and after an investigation to give myself a form of protection. Everybody in our group has that same ritual. Isn't the same as mine. But there's things that I do, and I've been fortunate enough till now to not have something at home.
Yeah, same with me. I mean, I haven't, you know, the family knows what I do, so any little thing that happens, you know, they assume that I maybe brought something home, like a fan turning on by itself, you know. You know, and I explained to them that, you know, it's wireless fan. It's a wireless fan, so... You know, wireless can travel from house to house, and, you know.
Even with that being said, I mean, I know protection is something I was trained on, you know, whether we would go investigate Camarillo or whatnot, or different locations, you know, and I've learned Sage, you know, with Joe and Becky, you know, before you go home, cleanse these entities from following us, you know, keep it in your head, do not follow me home, say it loud, you know, firm. I'm very religious myself. You know, my house, you know, I live with my parents, you know, we all have our own space, and there's a lot of love and a lot of faith within my home. Mm-hmm. And I found out that sometimes, I don't know how they get in, but they get in. And I don't know whether it's me being an empath or being a sensitive, that they actually try to find a way in, but there's some that do find a way in, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, religious, you know, articles throughout their house, you know, whether it be a Virgin Mary or a cross, a crucifix, they find their way in. And, you know, and same, I'm the same boy as you know, as soon as they hear something, you know, fall or something, Romero, you brought something home, or, you know. And my younger brother, he's actually very religious. He warned me about this. You know, he's like, hey, you should move out. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to start bringing stuff to the home. And luckily he's getting married. So I know he's going to listen to this podcast. And we're happy that you're leaving, because he's very sensitive. And he's, you know, his room is downstairs, and he's afraid to come out of his room because he's a witness to this. And before I would tell him stories of mine, you know, I would just investigate this location, he'd be scared. He'd turn around, change the conversation, not want to hear anything about it. Just like Ernie, you know, Ernie was like, let me go spend the night in your room. And I was like, I would never put you in that danger, you know. God forbid this happened to you, you know. And he would say, joking around. Not everybody understands that people just think it's easy. You know, they see on TV and go out there just and provoke these entities. And I did see a project that's coming up between you guys and OCPS. You guys are doing a documentary. You know, Nolan explained, you know, to us a couple of times. I know you guys are doing a project. Can you guys tell us a little bit more about that?
Pair Unit? Yeah, it's Pair Unit. And basically, it's It's going to be a documentary about a couple groups coming together and basically investigating some of these homes and to show what experiences or what things are happening to the investigators.
Okay.
As they go in, the stuff that they go through.
So, yeah, Nolan was explaining that it's going to be basically kind of from the beginning of an investigation to everything that happens from the interviews all the way to the end, right?
Yeah, once again, the public only knows what they see on TV. They think they can take 2 or 3 days worth of investigation and put it into a one-hour show. It doesn't work that way. So by us doing this documentary about two teams that are working together from getting the phone call, doing the pre-interviews, doing the research on the property, whatever it takes to do a complete investigation, that's what they get to see.
Yeah, and it is a lot of work from yes. what I see. You know, like I said, I've only been on a few. You know, thanks to Romero and OCPS, and you know, I was all excited about the first time I was going to go, and it's a lot of you know setup, right, and then.
There's a lot of sitting around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to say boring, but after the first couple of,
I got to comment on the boring subject because he has said this a lot of times, and I told Ernie, yeah, it has not happened to me yet, where I go into an investigation and I walk home empty-handed. You know, whether it's a classification C EVP that's actually there, or a B, or some sort of noise, or some sort of response that's actually, intelligent to one of our questions, I found whenever I go investigate with whatever team, I walk home with something, and either if it's not audio, visual, something I can, proof, to someone else as evidence, it's a personal experience that I actually had.
Well, yeah. that's what's important about having a team that is as close as we are, is a lot of the evidence that we get is personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point in saying that was that what people see on television is nothing like exact. Well, it's a little bit like, but they're missing a lot of what happens.
There's waiting huge, around and huge the chunks that are missing there. Yeah.
And the review.
Huge chunks of me being on the show. I see a lot of stuff. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It is Hollywood. It is a show. They have a format. Editors come in. They do their thing. And they try different things. Mm-hmm. And the best part is the audience, they're our worst critics. On our show at first, we had a lot of, ambient noises in the back. And people, were complaining about it. And I was like, as myself, I have no control over the editing or the music in the background. And, halfway through the season, they ended up turning down, the ambient noises in the background. And my dad was like, it gets me excited, But when you listen for an EVP, you want it to be quiet. You want to hear certain things. And, with that being said, from beyond, we're coming back to season 2. The show was a big hit, and I spoke to you guys about this earlier today, and I feel safe saying it, unless I'm wrong.
Congratulations.
But, I definitely see you guys, being featured in one of our episodes. I know Sam mentioned he had great ears, and I know
they're
he does,
big.
Not only that, I mean, just his ability, I know he hears a different spectrum than what other individuals would do, And I get the same thing, the production crew, they would call me bat ears. Remember, you hear everything, and... and we look forward to actually having you guys maybe, in an episode come out if you guys, want to come out. And I know it's something that's going to happen, so we look forward to seeing you guys there.
Anytime we can help.
Now, do you guys feel ghost hunting has changed for its better, actually?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question because even though that the field has progressed, we're still limited with technology. Even though there's a lot of gadgets out there, there's still a lot of things that need to be developed. And it is positive. It is positive. Mm-hmm. We are moving along as far as technology. So it is getting better. I'm excited to see it progress even further.
Now, tell us a little bit about your website. Now, one thing I'm going to say before is that I look at a lot of, paranormal websites, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see a whole page on orbs and a bunch of orb pictures and a bunch of EVPs that are hard to hear. What you guys have on here is pretty compelling from what I've seen. And And so I want you to tell us a little bit about your philosophy about what you post and how you post on your website.
And before you guys get to that, where can our audience take a look at this website?
Well, they can go to www.nops, that's NOPS.US.
Okay. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you post and your philosophy behind what you will post and what you won't post.
As a group, we try not to post every picture, every EVP, every little thing that we think may be suspicious. In the past, we've come across groups that every picture they take has something paranormal in it, and that's just not the case. The stuff that you're going to find on our website are things that have been analyzed over and over by not just us, but I can't say every other group in Orange County or Southern California, but we've presented it to them to help us analyze it. When it comes back from them saying, we're not sure what the heck that is, we'll post it. So the evidence that we have on our website is going to be something that not only us, but a collaborative of a lot of people cannot figure out.
And one other thing I wanted to say, if you'll notice on our EVPs, we don't actually have the text explaining what – we don't tag it. We don't say – because we don't want to influence anybody. We want you to – and I'm a stickler on that, that we can say the voice. The voice – we can flag it or tag it when it comes up, but leave it at that.
But are you guys, open to, an audience just coming in and say – this is what I actually heard, Jim, or no, this is what I actually heard here, and are you guys actually open to that?
So, yeah. Just by posting any type of evidence, we leave ourselves open for being criticized. We post it because we want feedback. We want you to tell us what you think that it is. We're not going to tell you that you're wrong.
And one thing you guys did mention when you guys came out, before we actually started to record the investigation, or this interview, I'm sorry. You guys had mentioned we don't have many EVPs on our website, and with that being said, I myself, Ernie started a website for myself, and there's certain stuff that I do not want to release just yet. Do you guys have like a file, the holy grail of it all that you guys are waiting for the right time, or
we have an EVP that we're going to play for you here in a little bit that is probably the best EVP that we've ever caught as a group. Or individuals. But yeah, we have some evidence that's still on the back burner that still needs a little bit more review.
Okay. If you want to cue that up and get that ready to go, now what advice would you guys give to newcomers coming into the paranormal that kind of maybe dabbling in it or maybe started off like me going on ghost tours or going to haunted locations, taking tours, and they want to do a little bit more?
As far as teams, fine. Try, and I know it's hard, try to find a reputable team and talk to them and see if they'll, allow you to come on board to go on one of their investigations. A lot of the residential cases, a lot of teams won't do that because it's kind of between the team and the client to add someone else in that's maybe inexperienced might change things a little bit, but find a reputable team to get with, and go on some of these tours. Go on, you can go on the Fullerton tours or the Ghost, the Haunted Orange tours.
Get a little feel. I'm sitting here and I'm trying to get a vibe. I've seen you guys. I know who you guys are, individuals. We had encounters. Through our media websites, Facebook or Twitter, and you seem to be a very calm individual, Jim. I don't think you're the type of person that actually goes out and provokes.
Well, there's a thing that I was taught as a really young age is you've got to be respectful. And if myself, I would consider a spirit or a ghost, whatever that you want to address it as a person without a body. And if that's the case, you need to have respect to get respect. Mm-hmm. So the term provoking is not in my paranormal vocabulary, so to speak.
You seem to be the type of person that actually sits there and not necessarily provoke, but you're more of an enforcer. Like, you're the person that sits here for the team, and I want to hear something, you know, or you have the way that you perceive yourself, you know, you're a hard spoken person, you know, as opposed to Jim, you know, Jim's, you know, you look at Jim, I thought it was, you know, the exact opposite of that. I thought he was a person that was just out there, speak to me now, you know, and you know, this guy is just, his image is nothing of how, you know, his personality is. He's very, very kind. And with that being said, I mean, I just want to hear Jim's, you know, perspective on this. Have you found yourself, you know, just your personality wise, the way you
speak
to these entities?
We'll feed off each other. We'll actually do kind of like not really role playing. I guess it'd be like role playing, where we'll get into an area and maybe, for an example, talk about, oh, if we're going to buy this place and we're going to change this around, we're going to take that wall out, we're going to, you know, stuff like that. That's about as much provoking that I would ever do, is to try to get some kind of response, like, oh, wait a minute, what are these guys doing, you know?
Right. Okay. And I mean, just the team, and just, you know, just for the record itself, but Sam, have you found, you know, when you guys are working together as a team, that somehow his personality tends to kind of stir, you know, stuff up within the room, or is it the other way around?
I think it's a 50-50 thing. We find it that we capture more evidence with casual conversation, and instead of being question and answer sessions.
That's interesting. So you guys interacting with each other and then catching voices in the background?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or actually wanted to be part of the conversation.
Huh.
I've known Jim for 30 years. He's a good friend of mine.
Damn.
I know. He's a good friend of mine. Our families are very close.
Uh-huh.
So we have a lot of the same personality. So we can go into a location that we've never been to before and have a casual conversation about a piece of art on the wall or a chair or, you know, the homeowner, whatever it is. And through those casual conversations, we will get interaction with the EVP.
And with you guys being friends such a long time, do you guys ever come across, you know, a situation where you're like, no, Sam, this is what I heard, or no, this is what I actually heard? Do you guys have that situation? I mean, because I know with friends, you know, people tend to have their disagreements from time to time, you know, and does that happen to you guys?
Yeah, of course. Of course. It happens quite often, you know, but that's what keeps us in check.
Right.
We have another member of our group. Her name is Jessica Rodriguez, and
she's the only female in the group.
Yeah, and she's a person that kind of brings us back to our center. You know, she's
Catherine Wilson.
Yeah, Catherine, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mom.
Yeah, but Jessica centers us. So if we're in a location where we don't fight, we don't squabble, but Jessica will kind of bring us back. Say, listen, you know, how about this or how about that? And then we go on with our business. So, but yeah, once in a while.
No, you guys do have some, you know, some audio you guys want to share with us, and it's also this could be found on your website as well.
Yes, this one can.
Awesome.
And this EVP we captured on the Queen Mary in the first class pool dressing room, and we were asked to be part of a tour, like we do for Fullerton, to bring another aspect to the tour on the Queen Mary. The first class pool is the last stop on the tour. The rest of the tour had already left the entire vicinity of the pool. There was four of us left. You're going to hear me talking to these two women in the background. You're going to hear one of them giggle, and then you're going to hear a voice that sounds like somebody who might be mentally challenged. And this is one I want you to hear. Maybe you can help us figure out what it's saying.
So what we'll do with this audio file, we'll play it three times,
mm-hmm.
and then the fourth time, just flag it so that the audience out there can actually hear this voice.
I'll let you do that.
Okay. Okay, he's going to play it again. One more time. Now, what do you think it says?
To be quite honest, I heard this audio file before we actually got this started, and I said, Camarillo? Because we actually, I picked up a lot of the similar, you know, voices out there. Makes sense, you know. I would actually sit there and say, yeah, it sounds like somebody that's actually disabled, you know, mentally, you know, ill of some sort. And I can't make out what it's actually saying, but I've heard something that, and there's a voice out there, you know, you hear, you know, it's actually chorale. While you guys are speaking, it's speaking with you guys as well, and it's actually being captured by
You can hear her. He's off. We're in this the dressing room area, and he's, I want to say, maybe three or four stalls down. I'm in one of the stalls, and I have the recorders down on the ground. And it's one of our Roland recorders, really good high-quality recorder. And at that the time we caught this EVP, we did not hear that. You could not hear it. If we would have heard that, we would have thought, wait a minute, somebody's playing a joke on us. Because it kind of sounds, you know.
And going back to what I said, I mean, it sounds chorale, you know. And being that, it's, you guys are speaking at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you hear it just come in the background.
Yeah.
And it's as if you guys are speaking, you guys are paying no attention to it.
You can almost hear it. Almost sounds like it has an echo to it, too.
Right.
As it's coming across.
Will it really listen to this EVP? I know he's a skeptic at heart.
Now, you know, the one thing that we think about is people, our teams, when they investigate, they're always trying to provide a source of energy for a spirit to accumulate, to manifest, or to communicate in some way. And if that's the case, in this, the spirit didn't have all the energy that it needed to express itself, and that's the way that it came across. Is that a possibility? You know, people hear the ominous "get out," or they hear something that comes across as menacing or evil.
Yeah.
Does it sound that way because that's all they can expel? It's kind of a theory that we try to.
And with that theory, you know, being brought up, you know, I feel the same way. How, you know, I've been asked by the public, you know, this question: why is it you get out or leave? Or shut up. You know, it's get out and shut up. The most responses I've actually got, you know, it's a common response that I actually capture. And I tell them, you know, okay, well, think about this. You're in your bed. And someone barges into your room, tries to wake you up. The first thing you do is get out. You know, you're in your comfort zone or whatnot. You know,
or you're and, talking and then telling you to shut up.
I know everybody has a different perspective. I'm going to sit here and say what I believe in because I know everybody has, you know, whether it's a religious, you know, belief in where these entities are at, and I feel they're dormant, or they're not necessarily stuck, but they're just not ready to cross over, you know, and they tell us a lot, get out, you know, get out of their personal space. Just as someone comes into your home, what are you going to do? Tell them to get out.
Tell them to get out, yeah.
Now, with that being said, very important, you know, because, you know, you guys being, you know, a team here from, you know, Orange County as well, that's been longer than, you know, haunted Orange County. What are your thoughts about the paranormal field and teams working with each other and, you know, the dislikes, the likes, or the approach that people take? You know, what do you guys actually have to say about stuff like that?
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
It's just a personal, you know, question of what, you know, your belief is, you know, on the teams wise. You know, I believe that, you know, teams should actually work together and, you know, share research. I know
they may
be a team that you guys do not approve of their standards or how they, you know, go out and properly, you know, conduct an investigation. But then again, this is the reason why I ask.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention any names. You know, there are some groups. There are some groups on the West Coast that they're in it for the almighty dollar, and I can speak for our group personally that we have never accepted a dime from anybody. All of our equipment's bought out of pocket. If we have to travel, we pay for our gas. We pay for our hotels. But there's groups out there that are charging thousands of dollars to go to an investigation.
And there's a lot of them out there that are in it just to be on TV.
We actually had an individual that contacted us from Minnesota, came across the website Haunted Orange. contacted another individual and said, what would it take? I'm coming out with my family for me to investigate. Mm-hmm. This person, I can't mention his name. I was surprised how much he charged this person.
Yeah.
He said, $500. And if it rains, you get no refunds and we're not going to investigate.
You got people on eBay that are selling or auctioning, that's what I'm looking for.
Public ghost hunts or?
Exorcisms. They're selling, they're auctioning, exorcisms. People on Craigslist.
Please don't tell me that.
It's true. It's true.
You know, and it's funny because how you said that, you know, I said to myself as well, you know, I told Ernie, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And this individual came across to us and we took him on a crazy ride in Santa Ana. Took him to a building that's very active. Mm-hmm. We've actually been there, out there to this location four times. We held our first public event there. Very active location. Very active. And the person walked away with the personal experience. And when I told Ernie, I said to myself, I was like, it's just sad for us to hear, you know, that he was actually offered to pay us $500. And if it rains, you get no refund. We're not going anywhere. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, people are in it for that or whatnot. And, you know, we've been blessed. You know, I myself have been blessed. And every day I count my blessings. You know, we came across P-Tech, you know, Mike Murray. And, you know, he said, hey, I want to, you know, like, sponsor you guys with some of my equipment. I've tried it out, field tested it, and it works. You know, I know it costs money to the public, and he wanted to share it with us. And does it work? Yes, it does work. Mm-hmm. We've had it, you know, investigations. Ernie has seen it. The last investigation when we took this individual, right, Ernie?
Yeah, we actually used it in the basement, and we got some some good results. Anything, especially for me or anybody else who's kind of starting to get into it, any kind of tool that you can use to gauge what's going on, for me, is always helpful.
Yeah,
well, anything visual, anything to let you know that, you know, something's going on.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Some indication is always good.
Now, I do just have a couple more questions. We'll let Ernie wrap this up. You know, going back to the provocation, you know, how people see, you know, certain teams or different shows, how they use provocation as a source, you know, to actually get them to respond. And how I perceive it, I'm like, okay, put yourself in their shoes. Let's say that's my father or my mother that's actually, you know, still interacting in this empty building. Would I want somebody to, you know, yell at my mom like that? No. Especially when we go to a residential home, you know. And not 100% of the time, it's a family member of theirs, but you have to have some sort of respect. And with that being said, you know, yelling at spirits, do you guys notice that it actually raises activity up? Or not only just raise activity, but the next person that comes to that location, do they get the wrong?
First of all, you would probably never, ever do that at a residential, because a lot of cases that we get, they're afraid that we're going to make it worse, that we're going to open up some doors, or we're going to make it worse. So that would be the last thing you would do, is go into someone's home and start provoking and then maybe stirring something up that you can't handle and then leaving. You know, and a lot of teams leave.
That was where I was going with the question. You know, teams that come out there and provoke it, and it gets them all wild up. So when the next team comes, like you guys, a next team comes by and they actually want to, you know, conduct a proper investigation with respect, do you guys believe in that stirring up of these entities, these spirits? You know, another team gets, you know, the wrong hand, or they get the worst of it?
Well, my view on it is, let's put ourselves in their shoes. If I was a spirit and I was in a location, you came into my space and started demanding for responses, you started, you know, provoking, whatever method of provoking that you choose to do, myself, I'm going to tell you to screw yourself. I'm gone. You know? So, but that's a view on the whole thing.
You're basically thinking that by yelling and by provoking, that whatever's there may just not do anything at all. It may just completely be, you know, quiet and leave for the night and come back, you know, another time when you're gone.
But,
you know,
but if the theory is that a spirit is going to be in death as they were in life, and you're provoking a person that had a temper, sure, it could.
You know, in my personal life, I'm a jackass. You know, I pull, you know, pranks on whoever I could. As a kid, you know, now I have to watch out what I do. And I feel that if I had the ability to actually come back, I'm going to do the same thing to people. You know, and it's how I learned, you know, with working with a medium like AJ, you know, how you were in the physical life is how you are in the spiritual life. You know, if you said, like to have fun and you know, joke around, you're a jokester as a spirit.
And that kind of brings up a point, too. We were good friends with an investigator that passed. Her name was Tricia Schultz. And we were close. They were part of our community. And she had a lot of fun with us, playing jokes and calling us names, all on a very fun level.
Yeah, we were known as Nobs, N-O-B-S, with her.
But she was the one that I thought would come back to play pranks. I mean, I'm glad that we haven't had a personal experience with her, and I'm glad that she is where she needs to be, but I was hoping that she was going to come back and at least say hi or something, you know.
But, hey, you know.
Just a thought away.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about something that Romero and I got to do a couple months ago now. We got to go down to Yuma, and we had the privilege of going out with OCPS, Nolan and his group, and check out the Lyric Theater as well as Lyric Theater and the hotel. I can't remember what the name of the hotel was, but Central Hotel. Now, tell us a little bit about what your involvement is in this event. And if you haven't been there, they're awesome locations, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of activity. But tell us a little bit about that.
We were asked by Nolan to be a part of it. They're going to have some people there that may have not have investigated before. Mm-hmm. Because we've done events with them before, it's knowledge that we can pass on. Mm-hmm. So by us being there, if we can answer questions for the audience, then once again, our theory is to try to help.
Great. Now, going back, you were talking about investigations in residentials, right? Mm-hmm. Now, typically when you do a residential case, do you involve the homeowner in the case? Are they there at the home with you? Do they leave? Or how does that work with you guys?
We actually leave it up to the client if they want to. I mean, we don't discourage it.
Uh-huh.
I think it helps them
yeah.
to understand. And I think a lot of the fear is the fear of the unknown, okay. not knowing.
Yeah.
And if we can help them, you know, be a part of it and help them by being a part of it, it's all good.
Okay. Now, one thing I always like to ask, people have different viewpoints on it. Now, have you guys ever come across something that you just did not feel comfortable dealing with or felt maybe it was, like you said, you don't want to stir something up you can't, you know, control or handle? What did you mean by that? Do you come across those types of cases at all?
We have had a couple. And once again, the advantage of having resources in the community to help us with those situations. We go into an investigation, we know that we cannot do every facet of a negative investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go in, we're confident with what we do. If it goes beyond that, we have people that we can reach out to, and we've had to pull those people in.
Great.
Now, just a key point I wanted to come across with you, Sam. You know, I can relate to you. You know, as a kid, being a sensitive, having personal experience as a child, you know, as you've progressed as an investigator, experiences that you've actually had, learning, like how you guys mentioned, you know, we're all learning still, you know, and there's no... I actually saw a tweet the other day that said, what makes you an expert in the paranormal field, paranormal expert or a professional investigator? And I was like, you're right.
I tweeted that.
And I was like, you can't go to college or you can't go to university to actually get a certification, you know?
But there's people who are selling certifications.
No, I know. And I did see that.
Yeah.
And I would take that as – I would actually honor one if it was from a respected investigator that actually trained you. And with that being said, as you investigate throughout your life – has it brought validation? And I know the reason why I ask this question is because I know there's a lot of the audience out there that may be sensitive, may have encounters as a child, and as they grow up, they start to, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together and say, okay, mm-hmm. now I'm able to validate this experience as I had.
Yeah, there's been total validation. What I saw at camp in Lake Arrowhead, I remember it like it was yesterday. And, but... in the back of my mind, I was also 13 years old. Light playing tricks in my eyes. What could have been? Growing up in my early teens, our family owned a cabin in Idaho that was haunted by a spirit by the name of Matilda. And I actually saw her apparition dancing in the kitchen. We had a person that was living at the cabin year-round, and he was always talking about waltzing Matilda. You know, I knew that Matilda was buried up on the hillside next to the cabin, but I never put two and two together until I saw her dancing in our kitchen.
Wow.
So what I saw in Boy Scout camp, I think I really saw what I saw, because I know that I saw Matilda dancing in our kitchen. And
isn't that a song?
Waltzing. Yeah. Matilda, I read that book as a child. Yeah. Just try to be funny here. Now, well, I want to take the opportunity to actually ask my last question. Actually, thank you guys for being a part of this podcast. You know, our viewers that are out there, listeners, get a chance to know who you guys are, you know, and we're from Orange County, and you guys are from Orange County as well, up north, and, you know, it's still the same county.
We don't do interviews, a lot of interviews, so.
That's why I had told Ernie, let's get a hold of him, you know, have him down here. We were honored. I was excited to actually have you guys down here.
It didn't hurt that bad, did it?
No, but there is one more audio file I'd like to play for you guys.
Okay, awesome. And before we play that audio file, it's my last question of the night. Yeah. I just want, you know, both of you to actually say, you know, add anything about yourself. You know, say something unique about yourself and what you guys are doing as a team, you know, and maybe something you guys want to promote in the future, like an event.
We did a little thing in Alcatraz, which will be airing tomorrow night on Travel Channel. Yeah, we went to Alcatraz, and it's for the Dead Files, and we had experiences there. We can't talk about them.
But we can watch them tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you can watch it tomorrow. Nice. Okay. We got it at 7 and at 10 on Travel Channel.
How is it working with Amy, correct?
Yes, Amy and
how is it working with Amy?
We didn't get to work with Amy because they're really strict on – they keep totally separate.
One, you know, we keep talking about TV being entertainment. When we were involved with the Dead Files, everything that we saw was completely legitimate. They keep the cast members apart, so there is no influence on one to the next. What I was there to validate was something that backed up that happened to somebody else that had almost identically the same story. Mm. So it was neat to see that there is some truth to what you see on TV.
That's good to hear.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and play us that file, and then do you need to queue it up?
Which one are you going to play?
I'm going to play the Le Portage or Humming.
Oh.
And if you guys actually describe actually what happens in the audio.
I'll explain it.
Go ahead.
This was on the Fullerton Tours, and I forget, I want to say maybe 2 years ago or a year ago.
I think it was last year.
Is it last year? I'm getting so old. Anyway, it wasn't a real tour. It was the kind of a mock tour with a couple of the docents, and I forgot which newspaper was there, but there was a photographer there.
The Register and the Titan newspaper.
Okay.
This place is Le Portage. It's a two-story house that was a lady used to live there. Her name was Lillian. I don't want to go into the full history of it, but as you walk in, you'll hear, as we walk into the door... Oh, and it's a what kind of store is it? It's a like a French knick-knacky kind of foo-foo place.
I actually saw a video on there where there's the crystal.
Yes,
moving to the place, right?
We get a lot of activity, but this is a voice.
Okay.
And you're going to hear. I'm walking up the stairs, and you're going to hear when I first walk into the doorway. You're going to hear the speaker, the sound system that's playing some music downstairs.
Okay.
You're going to hear that music, and it's kind of like a new world kind of music. And as I go up the stairs, I make a left into what used to be a bathroom. All right, it's got stuff in there to sell and whatnot. And the photographer is just outside that door, and he's snapping pictures.
Okay.
You're going to hear him going, T-t-t-t-t-t-t. Then all of a sudden, listen, you're going to hear a voice, and it sounds to me like it's singing to the music that's playing downstairs.
Oh, huh, okay.
Because you're going to hear, once I turn, the music you're hearing downstairs gets muffled. Then you hear this other voice, which is louder.
That comes in?
Yes.
Okay.
And once again, you're going to hear the music in the background that sounds distant.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you can definitely hear a little humming in the back that comes in.
It gives me goosebumps every time.
And then we will also, you know, when we release this, you know, we'll have a link, you know, we'll set up a little banner going straight to your evidence page so people can actually go on there and
go there.
You know, check them out. You know, I know a lot of the evidence out there, people could be, no, I can't hear anything. Are these files that you actually recommend? Earphones?
Yes. For these, yeah, headphone. Now, I wanted to tell you that on this recording, I actually heard it on what we call our recorder, the RT, which does
infrasound,
along with the regular sounds that are the 20 hertz to the 20 kilohertz range that our ears can hear. This goes actually go 15 hertz. So I actually heard it right then and there, and I called him in. I said, dude, you got to check this out. And we heard it right there. So that was real-time EVP catching right there.
Can you play that one more time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I turned the laptop off. Let me
Now, now that you mentioned that, as far as the recording, now is that a special type of recorder that's made for this field, particularly, or is it?
You can get it. I mean, it's sold. I forgot who makes it.
Is it the real-time made by Daz?
Yeah, Gary Galka.
Yeah,
the
real-time.
Yeah. I mean, what's neat about the technology in the field is the technology for infrasound is getting to the point now where it's affordable for the common man. Before, it was extremely expensive. They figured out ways to get that technology into something that's tangible now.
And I'm that person, you know, I've just been that way as a child, you know, and I know they do have a new mail meter that has like a spirit box built in, and this device is like over $400. But I mean, I have yet to see this device, and I don't know why I want one of these devices, even though I have my own spirit box. But I got to have this mail meter that has a spirit box in it. You know, it'll be kind of fun just to have every, you know, all the tools.
What he's doing is he's getting all the tools into one. You know, I don't know if you've been on an investigation. You have, you know, EMF gauge or temperature gauge and a K2, you know. And you have all this stuff, and you don't have enough pockets for all this stuff. So by incorporating it all into one, I mean, we use the MELS a lot because it's got the temperature probe, it's got the readout, and it's got the K2, whether you use the K2 or the K2 hybrid or the, what's the other one? It escapes me. There's one with the antenna that creates its own energy field, which in Le Portager we actually had validation. I didn't tell you this. I was in the middle of the living room, and Sam was talking to the owner. Uh-huh. This is before the tours came in. And we're talking about the fireplace and how she used to hide money. Lillian Yeager used to hide money in the back. And I was talking. I was like, well, where are you hiding your money? All of a sudden, I feel this spiderwebby kind of feeling, which we get a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, Sam, get the meter. He put the meter over my hand, over my arm, and it went off. That thing's only went off twice since we've had it, and it's been in that place. Go ahead and play the...
The humming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
We'll edit that out. Okay, go ahead.
And she has a beautiful voice. You can hear it kind of.
It goes on actually twice. I heard it twice. Awesome.
Okay. That was pretty cool.
And with that being said, I want to thank you guys for actually coming out here and sharing the evidence with us. You know, it was awesome to have you guys out here, you know, especially someone from our county, you know, in Orange County. I know there's a lot of teams in LA County. I just want to add to Jim, you know, what's funny is that when you speak about something, you know, a personal encounter, you get excited, you get goosebumps, like the goosebumps come out. I'm the same way we were at in Yuma, and that's my validation. That's your biggest validation as it is, and... You know,
well, your body is a tool.
Well, that's one thing.
Best tool, actually.
You'll notice we always investigate in T-shirt and shorts.
Right.
You know, that's the most skin we can probably. I'm not going tank top.
Even if I'm freezing, I take my jacket off. Mm-hmm. I, something that I recommend to people. I was like, no, take off your jacket. You know, live with it. I mean, I know there's times, you know, especially in the wintertime, you know, when it does get a little chilly out there, you got to take one for the team sometimes to actually, use that, you know. But thanks for coming out, you guys, and sharing this audio file.
Thanks for having us.
We'll share this, you know, have a link on there, set up a banner so people can actually go to the website and check out these, you know, the evidence actually is captured. And is there a way for the people to leave a comment on there, what they actually...
They can actually go to the... they can sign a guest book.
What's the website again?
It's www.nops.us, and you can go to the guest book. It's there. You can sign the guest book. You know, we encourage anybody to go there and sign it. Let us know, you know, where you met us, where you seen us. You know, they can leave comments there. And I think you can leave comments on the actual EVPs too.
There's also Facebook.
Yeah, you can get us on Facebook too.
And we all have you guys on our top, you know, likes on both of our pages. Myself as an investigator, and on Haunted Orange, I place you guys on there. So make sure you guys go out there, and we'll send a reminder, everybody, you know, get more likes on there and follow good people.
So, guys, thanks again for joining us on Haunted Orange County. And once again, you can find their information on their website. You can also, you know, find them on Facebook. And we'll be together with you guys in Yuma, Arizona. So I'm looking forward to being able to actually be on an investigation with you guys. And that's going to be a great time in about a month and a half coming up.
Always an experience.
Yeah. Awesome. So thank you guys so much. Mr. Sam and Jim, thank you for being our guests this evening. And thank you for listening to another edition of Haunted Orange County's Paranormal Podcast. Good night.